little machine. Alrighty. We're studying defiling the temple of God, because that's the worst, from God's perspective, that's the worst of the evil work that Paul was saying he was delivered from. Mr. Johansson and I had a little chat this morning, and I said something that probably I shouldn't have said, but I'm going to say it again anyway. It was about his consciousness of himself, and my statement was, that's like, I used worse words than this, but I said that's like taking a dump in the Holy of Holies. It's really serious, and yet we do it with impunity because we don't know the difference. The idea that you would be aware of yourself no matter what happens and you don't repent is, as I said, it's probably, in terms of God, the worst of the evil works that you can do, because it's breathing life into the evil one. It's worshiping the beast. All the world is wandering after the beast, but the voice of the beast is from the evil one, the dragon, old Satan, the serpent. And so when one spends just, you know, hours and days and nights wondering what they're going to do next and aware of themselves in all these possible innumerable situations, somehow I've got to get across to you how evil that is. What?
Well, just thinking, you talked in the past about the risk God has taken. And this is part of his risk, is to give us that ability to breathe life into the evil one, because love can't be perfected if we don't have all these abilities and see.
Amen. All right, let's go now to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Well, let's go up a little farther. Verse 14, chapter 6, verse 14. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And yet, I mean, this really has to do, you know, obviously with contractual obligations and all that, but this primarily is about you and Christ. Everybody see that?
Oh, like just talking about me and Jesus is a, like a thing?
Right.
And you're yoking yourself
with the death.
Yeah.
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You are the temple of the living God. What your outward manifestation is just about worth nothing. You can call yourself a Christian and be born again 50,000 times. You can study the Bible, you can memorize every verse, but if you haven't abandoned yourself, if you haven't seen your death, if you haven't seen that every thought about yourself is breathing life into the one who was killed with a deadly head wound, then nothing that you've done matters, because you in the midnight hour are giving importance and breath and worship to the evil one. You see the importance of this a little bit? And what scares me is when you do it and you don't see the evil of it. Because everybody does it. It's the way we're born. That's the way we're hardwired. What?
We studied about something last night and talked about the great transgression. And that's what this makes me think of.
Great transgression is a curse. The evil one giving, and you still giving breath to you. Remember when we studied, we spent a lot of time studying the great transgression. We even had a few hot seats about the great transgression. How quickly we forget. How quickly we neglect so great a salvation. All right. All that was said just to get to this point. Hey. Josanna, emergency.
Bye.
Ding, 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 ding. All right, chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's a simple statement. But do we understand it? What we do is we try to make out kinds of outward things. We make little outward rules to think that we're doing that. But we're not.
What do you mean outward rules? Like,
don't drink, don't dance, don't curse, don't blah, 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 blah. It's all circumcising yourself. But the real thing, the real place to cleanse yourself of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit is internal. And then he goes on, we receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. Now, this word corrupted is the word that talks about, is the word which means defiling the temple. If I have ever taught self-realization what you should do to get something from God, then I have taught bad. I've corrupted. If I've ever given anyone, told somebody what to do, I've corrupted somebody.
Well, that would be profane in the eyes of God, right?
Amen. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. So again, it talks about this idea of being the temple of the living God, and the internal order of the temple is what's critical to the mystery of God. And the internal order of the temple happens automatically if repentance is total. If you've abandoned yourself, if you've disowned yourself, then because of Christ in you, the hope of glory, then he fills the temple and it's in its proper order. But everything else is just using God for self-realization. You're doing it again, Gary.
Having a moment here. Repentance is such great joy if you see your evil and his light.
Amen.
Because repentance allows you to return to his greatness and get rid of your filthiness.
And he becomes your only self. You have no other self but him. You have no concern for anything other than him. And he fulfilled everything. He descended on high, but in that he first descended into the depth. And he rose again that he might fulfill all things. Go to Ephesians 4. We get sidetracked again. It's Gary's fault. Ask those stupid questions and make those stupid statements. It makes me get off the track. Ha ha ha.
Dumb and dumber in action.
Oh, before we leave that, when we talked about the cleansing yourself, the word is, it just means purge. It means like
empty.
Catharsis. It's
that's where we get the word catharsis.
Yeah, so it's like, it's how to do it is implicit in the word itself.
Amen. Everybody understand that? All right.
Where did we go?
Ephesians 4. Start in verse 3, verse 20. Well, we've got to go up a little higher. This is one of the two great prayers in Ephesians. Ephesians, of course, in the book, in the scriptures. You remember Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the Torah. Then Joshua is the first look at the mystery of God in the promise. Well, Ephesians corresponds to Joshua because it really is about this, the prayers in this new place, in this new Jerusalem. And the first prayer is in the first chapter, but this is the second prayer in chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, beg of you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. There is only one vocation, one avocation. What you do, I mean, there's only one calling, one faith, one office in this context. Listen, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now you can talk about the mystery of God all the time, but if you have aught against somebody, it's out the window. If you haven't forgiven something, including yourself, it's out the window. If you continue concerning yourself with your own status, it's out the window because you've returned to the weak and beggarly elements of the world. All right. endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given a grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill, or better word is fulfill, all things. Everything is finished. Everything is completed. Everything that could be done by the Father and maintain his integrity has been completed. As I've said so often, you can never, ever make a mistake if you give too much credit to Christ. And you will always make a mistake if you give any credence at all to yourself. Take no thought.
It's amazing when I look back on my life, all the time I've given thought to myself, or analyzed, or reanalyzed, or been tormented by
Amen.
Whatever. And I look back, I probably wasted half of my life.
But remember, listen carefully. He wrought all your works in you for you to reach this point. That means every single thing that happened was exactly as it should have happened. Every thought you had up until this very point was exactly as it should have been, that you might be filled and fit into this mystery of what the bride of Christ is. You have no regrets. You have no concern, no interest, no investment in anything that happened before this second. And you have no concern whatsoever for anything that's going to happen after this second. Now is the only accepted time, and that now accepted time is always true. All the scriptures where it talks about walk in love, walk in loneliness, walk how you walk, is all in the present tense. Amen?
Amen?
All right, we read all that to see that he fulfilled all things. When he was translated, when he was transfigured in the Mount of Transfiguration, then what he had done, he had not just fulfilled the law, he had fulfilled all law. And he was transfigured. Now that is our aim, that is our goal, that is everything, that is our vocation, our avocation, our thought, that everything is that fulfillment, that resurrection, that life in the New Jerusalem. Everything else is not even secondary. There is no anything else. And anything other than that is defiling the temple. Now the way gets narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. In your consciousness of it. Praise God, because that makes your repentance continuous, not a thing you do. It's your way of life. What?
That's funny. That I never liked that, getting narrower and narrower and narrower. It automatically is bad to the flesh. But it's,
how did you escape it in your mind?
I don't know that I did. I just didn't like it. Because I didn't see correctly.
Would you like to know how you escaped it?
Tell me.
God will take care of it.
And he did.
Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound?
I'll come up with something there. I'm a little busy right now.
I'm dizzier and I can't even believe. I can't even believe I'm talking. All right. Let's go back.
Second Timothy?
No, I want us to continue. Let's go down. Let's start in verse 14 of Ephesians 4. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now you can't take this they and put it elsewhere. The they is you. You lie in wait to deceive. You lie in wait to swallow up the mystery of God. You lie in wait to crucify the Son of God afresh. You lie in wait to consider the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing. You lie in wait thinking that you're so friggin' special that the sacrifice of the Son of God wasn't enough for you. Lie in wait to deceive. What? That's not where we're going yet, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's why it's no longer me, it's us. But it's us as the new creation. It's us as the living bride. It's us having already ascended. It's us dwelling only in the new Jerusalem. Gary, you're going backwards or forwards or somewhere, but you're not where we are. All right, we're still not there yet.
I'm thinking about, we're talking so much about the body.
Joyce Santa's over here making fun of me again.
Trying to cope with it.
I think there's two people in the body whose job is to make fun of me constantly. And they're two. Carolyn and Joyce Anna. Yeah.
They mock you.
They mock me. And damn well, I'm glad they're doing it.
Well, they see that part.
Excuse me.
That's what their joint supply is.
Yeah. What? No, you see, there you go again. Go ahead. That's not what you were going to say.
No, that is a good example. It's like every joint supplies a certain...
Right.
Requirement for the body. Or it's,
unless you keep it to yourself. And then that's called cancer.
If you privately are mocking, that's not good. It's publicly
wrong. All right. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. You walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now, it means... You can't go to your mind sometimes. That the emptiness, futileness, worthlessness of your mind, you have to know. But you can't know until you've pushed it to the end in all arenas. Or been able to you have to experience that, or you can empathize it. If you can empathize somebody else's experience, so you don't have to go through that. to bring you to the total and complete end of yourself. Because otherwise, you're defiling the temple. Amen? I don't feel like talking anymore. Any thoughts, responses, expansions, Mr. Rutledge?
I need to think about it. It's the vanity of your mind. You have to think it through to the point of getting to the point of
knowing it,
jumping off the cliff. Then you'll know it. It's like, you know, it's like you're saying all these things we're going to like. Well, I need to grab hold of that, and it has to grab hold of you.
Right.
You know, that's the trick about this whole deal.
You are wearied in the greatness of your way. Yet you sayeth not, there is no hope.
Yeah, if you warn me about thinking about myself too much, then I'll just think about myself more because of that until I get to the place where I want to purge it out, throw it up.
Stop eating dog vomit.
That's what I meant to say.
All righty. Anybody else? Mr. Bojo? Everything understand perfectly. Mrs. Bojo. Perfect. Take it, big guy.